Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to speak to the children of Israel. Allah says, O children of Israel, remember my favor that I have bestowed upon you, and that I preferred you over the worlds. And fear a day when no soul will suffice for another soul at all, nor will intercession be accepted from it, nor will compensation be taken from it, nor will they be aided. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding the Bani Israel the tremendous favors that He bestowed upon them. And yes, they were the chosen people. Allah says that I preferred you over the worlds. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that does not give you the right to be arrogant. That does not give you the right to deny the Prophet simply because he came from the Arabs and he was not from the Bani Israel. Allah says you should fear a day when no soul will suffice for another soul, meaning that nobody will be able to fulfill what is due from it. No one will stand up for another person at all. Allah says, nor will intercession be accepted from it. Intercession will only be accepted if Allah allows it. Allah has to give permission. Nobody can just stand up and say that my intercession needs to be accepted. In fact, people will not want to intercede for each other. Allah says, nor will compensation be taken from it. Then nobody will be able to give anything in return to be saved from hellfire, from the punishment of Allah, from His anger. On that day, we will have nothing with us. Allah says, nor will they be aided. They need to remember. Allah says, the Bani Israel needs to remember, just as we need to remember. Allah says, and recall when we saved you from the people of Pharaoh, who afflicted you with the worst torment, slaughtering your sons and keeping your women alive, and in that was a great trial from your Lord. Allah is reminding them of their ancient history. This was the history that they were proud of because they were saved from someone like Pharaoh, who used to consider himself a god. The most powerful nation in the world at that time, he was head of it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved the Bani Israel through Musa alayhi salam and Harun alayhi salam and gave them the Torah. So they were proud of their history, and they also remembered that history. It was the worst of torment that anybody could face. It was genocide. The Pharaoh was slaughtering their sons. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this was a great trial from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah blessed them. In the next ayah, Allah says, and recall when we parted the sea for you and saved you and drowned the people of Pharaoh while you were looking on. And recall when we made an appointment with Moses for 40 nights. Why was that appointment there? So that Musa alayhi salam could receive the Torah. Allah says, what did you do after he left? Allah says, then you took for worship the calf after him, while you were wrongdoers. Why did they take the calf for worship? Because they were used to having idols. So when Musa alayhi salam went up the mountain, Mount Sinai, to talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and receive the Torah, they became inspired to make a statue, and they wanted to worship that statue until Musa alayhi salam came back. Now Harun alayhi salam tried to stop them, but they were a large crowd and they became angry and they pressured him and they did what they wanted to do. Subhanallah. They started committing shirk. Allah says, then we forgave you after that so that perhaps you would be grateful. Allah forgave them. They were the only nation of Muslims present at that time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, despite their having done the greatest of transgressions to commit shirk in their ignorance, because you know they had become a slave nation, they had forgotten their book, and they were used to being told what to do, their intellectual level, their spiritual level was diminished to a great extent. So they thought they were doing the right thing, but in fact it was the gravest of errors. But Allah is reminding them of this greatest of great favors that He forgave them. Allah said, recall when we gave Moses the scripture and the criterion that perhaps you would be guided, and this was the Torah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them the criterion to distinguish between falsehood and the truth. Allah says, وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ يَا قَوْمِ إِنَّكُمْ ظَلَمْتُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ. And recall when Moses said to his people, O my people, indeed you have wronged yourselves by your taking of the calf for worship. So repent to your Creator and kill yourselves, meaning the guilty among you. That is best for all of you in the sight of your Creator. Then He accepted your repentance. Indeed, He is the accepting of repentance, the merciful. Innahu huwa tawwabur rahim. And recall when you said, O Moses, we will never believe you until we see Allah outright. That was the height of audacity. They wanted, in fact, they demanded that they should see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even after watching in front of their eyes the whole ocean being split into two huge waves, two mountains of waves, so that they could walk through it with safety and security, and all the other miracles that Musa alayhi salam had been sent with, they still demanded to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, so the thunderbolt took you while you were looking on. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused some of them to die. Allah then says, then we revived you after your death, that perhaps you would be grateful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought them back to life in front of the others so that people could see that Allah can do anything. Allah says, and we shaded you with clouds and sent down to you manna and quails, saying, eat from the good things with which we have provided you. And they wronged us not, but they were only wronging themselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent them food from the sky, manna and salwa. Manna was full of carbohydrates. It would settle like dew on the leaves so they could eat from it. And quails was the protein that they needed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted them to prepare for jihad, to prepare for war, so that they could enter Jerusalem and make it their home. Allah says, and recall when we said, enter the city, meaning Jerusalem, and eat from it wherever you will in ease and abundance, and enter the gate bowing humbly, and say, relieve us of our burdens, meaning seeking forgiveness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted them to enter the gate bowing humbly and to ask for forgiveness. When Allah gives victory, He expects us to be even more humble. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam conquered Makkah, he was bowing down on his camel when he entered the city, so much so it is said that his head almost touched the back of the neck of the camel. Because all victory is from Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted them to express this humility, be sincere in it, and ask for forgiveness. Allah says, we will then forgive your sins for you, and we will increase the doers of good in goodness and reward. But those who wronged changed those words to a statement other than that which had been said to them. They were supposed to say, Hittatun, Hittatun, we seek forgiveness for our burdens, for our sins. But they made a joke. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, they said a word that was similar, Habbatun fi sha'ratin, fi sha'ratin. What does that mean? Seed in the hair. Subhanallah, they just made fun. They twisted the word and they entered that city upon their backsides. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, but those who wronged changed those words to a statement other than that which had been said to them. So He sent upon those who wronged a punishment from the sky because they were defiantly disobeying. Bima kanu yafsukun. It was a plague that came upon them. Allah says, and recall when Moses prayed for water for his people. So He said, strike with your staff the stone, and there gushed forth from it 12 springs in every people, meaning every tribe. There were 12 tribes. Allah says, they knew its watering place. Eat and drink from the provision of Allah, and do not commit abuse on the earth, spreading corruption. And recall when you said, O Moses, we can never endure one kind of food. So now they were bored with food that was coming from the sky. So call upon your Lord to bring forth for us from earth its green herbs and its cucumbers and its garlic and its lentils and its onions. Moses said, "Would you exchange what is better for what is less? Go into any settlement, and indeed you will have what you have asked." And they were covered with humiliation and poverty, and returned with anger from Allah upon them. وَبَاءُ بِغَضَبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ. This is the ghadab that is mentioned in Surah Al-Fatiha. Allah says that was because they repeatedly disbelieved in the signs of Allah and killed the prophets without right. Who were those prophets? The Bani Israel had never been without a prophet since the time of Musa alayhi salam. And they killed their prophets, the prophets of Allah. And they imprisoned others and they denied others. And they were actually proud of their heritage. Remember, Allah is speaking to the Jews who live in Medina centuries later. Allah says they knew their history and they were proud of it, and they never felt they had done anything wrong. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that was because they disobeyed and habitually transgressed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shades us with clouds as well. We are shaded wherever we go. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends us down food that is ready. We can go to the grocery store and buy whatever we want to. We can buy frozen foods. We can order food from restaurants. It is so easy for us. We are shaded. We are covered. We are given running water. Everywhere, each one of us has a home that has running water, alhamdulillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided all of those things because we are not here simply to work on earth and just live on earth and enjoy earth and die on earth and that's it. No, we have a higher purpose. Just like the Bani Israel were given a higher purpose. They were supposed to establish the rule of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on earth. They were supposed to give this message of the Quran to those who did not have it. They were supposed to be the guardians of the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the purveyors of this message. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took it away from them. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ذَلِكَ بِمَا عَصَوْا وَكَانُوا يَعْتَدُونَ. Indeed, those who believed and those who were Jews or Christians or Sabians before Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those among them who believed in Allah in the last day and did righteousness will have their reward with their Lord, and no fear will there be concerning them, nor will they grieve. Does that mean that everyone who is a Jew or a Christian or a Sabian before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Yes, the people who are righteous before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, and he swore by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, in meaning that no one who does not believe in him and his prophethood will enter Jannah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the seal of all prophets. The Quran is there for eternity. Everyone needs to believe in the Quran. So after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, people need to believe in him and to accept the message of Islam through the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, as for those who have passed on before, they will have their reward with their Lord, and no fear will there be concerning them, nor will they grieve. In ayah number 63, Allah says, "And recall when we took your covenant, O children of Israel, to abide by the Torah, and we raised over you the mount, saying, take what we have given you with determination, and remember what is in it, that perhaps you may become righteous." So now, after all of those favors, they turned away from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They turned away from the Torah. Allah is speaking to the children of Israel again and saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised the mountain above them to threaten them with destruction because they simply would not abide by the Torah. And Allah says, خُذُوا مَا آتَيْنَاكُمْ بِقُوَّةٍ. Hold on to what we have given you with quwa, with strength. Why do we have to hold on to the Quran or the Torah or anything else, any other scripture that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent before? What is the need to hold it with determination, with a lot of strength? Why? Because it will run away from you. The dunya will take you in a completely different direction. Allah says, you have to exert effort to hold on to the scripture of Allah. Allah then says, "Waskuru ma fihi," and remember what is in it. How would you remember what is in it if you never open it? If you just open it once a year? The relationship with the Quran is supposed to be developed in Ramadan, and it is supposed to carry over until the next Ramadan, and the one after that, and the one after that, and the one after that. Or you develop it during any other time of the year and then you continue, but the most optimum and prime time is during Ramadan. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that you should remember what is in it. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you are going to become those who have taqwa. Again, the way to increase the taqwa, the consciousness of Allah, the consciousness of wanting to please Him and make Him happy and avoid those things that cause displeasure, is to hold fast to the scripture of Allah and to always read and remember what is in it and to follow it. Allah says, the Bani Israel did not do that. The next ayah Allah says, then you turned away after that. And if not for the favor of Allah upon you and His mercy, you would have been among the losers. And you had already known about those who transgressed among you concerning the Sabbath. And we said to them, be apes, despised. Who did they know about? The Bani Israel knew about this previous nation, and they were from the children of Israel themselves. This was a historical reference that Allah was presenting before them. A small fishing village were affected because they transgressed about the Sabbath. The Sabbath for the Bani Israel was and has been the day of Saturday. They were ordered not to do any worldly work during that day. But that fishing village was tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent more fish to them on the weekends. And they were stuck. They did not know what to do. They decided to try to cheat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they would put out their fishing nets or dig holes on the beach on Friday, and they would not do anything on Saturday. And they would pull in the fish that were caught in those fishing nets in those holes on Sunday. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was angry. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered them, be apes, despised. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a disease upon them. Allah says, and we made it a deterrent punishment for those who were present and those who succeeded them, and a lesson for those who fear Allah. Allah is warning the Bani Israel. He said, the previous nation, from your own history, they also tried to cheat Allah, and this story was very well known amongst them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turned some of them who had disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into apes. And they contracted a disease and they died. Other people who did not try to stop them were also affected by this punishment. The only people who remained were those who had tried to stop people from disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the people who were forbidding evil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it became a lesson for those who were present and those who succeeded them, and a lesson for those who fear Allah. Maw'izatan lil muttaqin. But did the Bani Israel have taqwa? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says next, and recall when Moses said to his people, indeed Allah commands you to slaughter a cow. They said, do you take us in ridicule? Now why did they say that? And why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala order them to slaughter a cow? Because remember when Musa alayhi salam went up on Mount Sinai to receive the Torah, in his absence the Bani Israel had made a statue of a cow from the jewelry and ornaments that they had. They melted them and they made a cow, a statue of a cow, and they started worshipping it. Now the love of that cow was inside of them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was wanting to completely rid them of it, and this was from His wisdom. So they were told to do an act of sacrifice. So they thought that they were being made fun of. And they said to Musa alayhi salam, do you take us in ridicule? He, Musa alayhi salam, said, I seek refuge in Allah from being among the ignorant. which means that in this ayah, Allah is telling us to ridicule the ayat of Allah, to ridicule the ahkama, the rulings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is ignorance. To make fun of them is ignorance. They said, the Bani Israel said, call upon your Lord to make clear to us what it is. Moses said, Allah says, it is a cow which is neither old nor virgin, but median between that, so do what you are commanded. They said, call upon your Lord to show us what is her color. He, Musa alayhi salam, said, he, Allah says, it is a yellow cow, bright in color, pleasing to the observers. They said, call upon your Lord to make clear to us what it is. Indeed, all cows look alike to us. And indeed, we, if Allah wills, will be guided. He said, Allah says, it is a cow, neither trained to plow the earth, nor to irrigate the field, one free from fault with no spot upon her. Now, you must have noticed that the description of this cow is becoming even more detailed, and it is becoming even more difficult for them, perhaps, to find one that fits this exact description. Why were they asking so many questions? Why do we ask questions when we are told to do something, and we continue to ask questions? Think of young children. When they don't want to do anything, they make excuses, and they keep on asking silly questions. This is what they were doing. They were trying to delay the inevitable, but it became very difficult for them to find such a cow. They said, in ayah number 71, Allah says, they said, now you have come with the truth. So they slaughtered her, but they could hardly do it. They had to pay a farmer the weight in gold of that for that cow, in order to get that cow so they could slaughter it, because there was just one cow that fit this exact description. So it cost them a lot of money. There was another reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered them to slaughter that cow. In ayah number 72, Allah says, and recall when you slew a man and disputed over it, but Allah was to bring out that which you were concealing. There was a murder in town, and a man had killed his uncle for inheritance, but he had moved the body in front of an innocent man's house. So it was the first murder in society. There was a great UN cry about it, and it became a huge problem for everyone. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered them to slaughter the calf or the cow, so that a part of the body of the dead cow would be struck on the man, the dead body. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says in the next ayah, so we said, strike him, that is a slain man, with part of it, part of the cow. Thus does Allah bring the dead to life, and he shows you his signs that you might reason. So the dead man then came back to life. He informed them of his murder, and then he died again. Now all of this happened in front of their eyes. These incredible miracles are happening in front of their eyes over and over again. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then tells us, then your hearts became hardened after that, being like stones or even harder. So they were not moved. They were not moved. Their hearts did not become soft. Normally, when people see great things happening to them, they fall down in sajda, and they are humble towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what was happening to the Bani Israel? It was because their hearts were already hard. They were not moved by all of these wonderful things that were coming their way, the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, they started taking them for granted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, however, gives us another beautiful allegory. Allah says, for indeed there are stones from which rivers burst forth. So there are stones. They're very hard, but they crack open suddenly. And river, remember, water is an example for khair, for goodness, for Islam. So Allah says those hard hearts split open, and the goodness of Islam comes out of them like rivers, like Umar radiallahu anhu. Allah says, and there are some of them that split open and water comes out. So other hearts also split open. But Khair, like rushing rivers, doesn't come out, but still goodness, Islam comes out of them. Water does come out of them. Allah says in the third example, and there are some of them that fall down for fear of Allah, like a landslide, crumble in front of Allah because they have seen His greatness, recognized His greatness. And Allah is not unaware of what you do. Their hearts were hard. The Prophet ﷺ told us that a sign of a soft heart are tears. Rasulullah ﷺ told us that the unluckiest person is one whose heart is hard, a person who is not moved by the Quran, a person who is not moved when something sad happens. Even for men, it is a sign of mercy. The Prophet ﷺ had tears in his eyes when his grandson died. So the Sahaba asked him, "You have always told us to be strong and yet you are crying." The Prophet ﷺ said, "This is a sign of mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." The Prophet ﷺ encouraged us to soften our hearts. He said, "Rub your hands over the head of an orphan. Read the Quran. Remember death so that your hearts will remain soft." But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that the Bani Israel, their hearts became hard, harder than stone. So Allah asked the believers a question. "Do you covet the hope, O believers, that they would believe for you while a party of them used to hear the words of Allah and then distort it after they had understood it while they were knowing? And when they meet those who believe, they say, 'We have believed.' But when they are alone with one another, they say, 'Do you talk to them about what Allah has revealed to you so they can argue with you about it before your Lord? Then will you not reason?'" Allah asks a question. This is the most amazing conversation Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has quoted. The Bani Israel pretend to believe in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but when they are alone with each other, they admonish each other and say, "Why do you tell them what is in the Torah?" Because in the Torah, there was evidence that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a true prophet. So they would criticize each other, admonish one another, "Don't tell them our secrets, because then they can use those secrets against us in front of Allah." But the whole point is redundant. Do they not know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is hearing them at that very moment? This is why Allah says, "Afala taqilun?" Then will you not reason? But do they not know that Allah knows what they conceal and what they declare? And among them are unlettered ones who do not know the scripture. وَمِنْهُمْ أُمِّيُّونَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ الْكِتَابَ. Who are أُمِّيُّون? أُمِّي meaning a person who is not educated, does not know how to read or write. And who are those people who are uneducated in the eyes of Allah? لَا يَعْلَمُونَ الْكِتَابَ. They do not know the book. They don't know the scripture. They don't know the Torah. So in Allah's eyes, uneducated people are those who do not know the scripture that is sent by Allah. They might not have a single degree worth talking about in this world. But if a person knows the Quran, they understand the Quran and they follow the Quran, that is the most educated person in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says they did not know the book, but they relied on something else. What is that? إِلَّا أَمَانِيَّ وَإِنْهُمْ إِلَّا يَظُنُّونَ. Except indulgence in wishful thinking, but they are only assuming. Allah says amongst the Bani Israel are people who are really not involved with the scripture. They don't know the Torah. They don't read it. They don't understand it. They just have wishful thinking or whatever their ulama have told them, that they are the chosen people and they are in good standing in front of Allah. So Allah says in ayah number 79, "So woe to those who write the scripture with their own hands and then say, 'This is from Allah,' in order to exchange it for a small price." Who was doing this? Now Allah is talking about their ulama, their scholars, who would change their fatwas and would change the ayat of the Torah, saying that this is from Allah, in order to give fatwas and rulings that were pleasing to people, in exchange for money, in exchange for power. Allah says, woe to them for what their hands have written, and woe to them for what they earn. And they say, never will the fire touch us except for a few number of days. Where did this confidence come from? Because they used to think that we are the chosen people, we will not be thrown into fire. But even if we are, for some odd reason they felt, it will be just for a few days. Subhanallah. Imagine what it is like to burn our fingers just for a second, a microsecond in this dunya. And the fire of hell is many more times hotter than the fire of this world. So they said, except for a few number of days. Say, have you taken a covenant with Allah? Allah says, did I make some sort of a promise to you? Allah says, for Allah will never break his covenant. Or do you say about Allah that which you do not know? Yes, on the contrary, whoever earns evil and his sin has encompassed him, one sin, man kasaba sayyatan wa ahatat bihi khati'atuhu, one sin, that's a singular noun, it has encompassed him, meaning that he could not get out of it. It consumed him. Allah says, those are the companions of the fire. They will abide therein eternally. What was this one sin that consumed the Bani Israel? It was arrogance. What was that one sin that consumed Iblis? It was arrogance. Allah says, but they who believe and do righteous deeds, those are the companions of paradise. They will abide therein eternally. May Allah make us of these people. Ameen. And recall when we took the covenant from the children of Israel, enjoining upon them, do not worship except Allah, and to parents do good. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. إِحْسَان means husn, which means beauty. We are supposed to treat our parents with excellence, highest level of beauty. Allah says, the covenant that was taken from them was, number one, no shirk, do not worship except Allah, and then to parents do good, and to relatives, orphans, and the needy. And speak to people good words. That is part of Iman. It's a covenant that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made with the Bani Israel. To speak in a good manner, with excellent manners with people. Say good words to people. And establish prayer and give zakah. And that those personal things that we do for ourselves are coming towards the end of the list. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to think about other people. On top of that list are parents and relatives. Allah says, then you turned away, except a few of you, and you were refusing. What is there to refuse in this list? These are all beautiful things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they turned away. And recall when we took your covenant, saying, do not shed your, that is, each other's blood, or evict one another from your homes. Then you acknowledged this while you were witnessing. The Bani Israel had been ordered in their Torah not to kill each other, people from amongst themselves, and also they were forbidden to evict each other from their homes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you knew this. But then in the next ayah, Allah says, then you are those same ones who are killing one another and evicting a party of your people from their homes, cooperating against them in sin and aggression. So the Bani Israel tribes would have pacts with the Arab tribes over there, and they ended up fighting each other. And they ended up killing each other, they ended up evicting each other from their homes. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has reminded them that they were forbidden to do that in the first place. So Allah says, continuing in ayah number 85, and if they come to you as captives, meaning your own people, because now they are your POWs, they come to you as captives, you ransom them, although their eviction was forbidden to you. Meaning that in the first place, you were not supposed to evict them. You were not supposed to kill them. But now they come as POWs. You're following the part of the Torah that says that you should collect sadaqah, and charity to release your own prisoners of war from your enemies. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says you're following that part of the scripture. So Allah says, so do you believe in part of the scripture and disbelieve in part? Then what is a recompense for those who do that among you except disgrace in worldly life, and on the day of resurrection they will be sent back to the severest of punishment, and Allah is not unaware of what you do. The greatest criticism in all of this is that they follow the part of the scripture that is convenient for them, and they completely disregard the part of the scripture that is not convenient for them. Allah says, those are the ones who have bought the life of this world in exchange for the hereafter, so the punishment will not be lightened for them, nor will they be aided. Are we guilty of this? Do we do that with the Quran? Do we follow parts of the Quran that are convenient for us, and we disregard others? Allah says, and we did certainly give Moses the scripture, that is the Torah, and followed up after him with messengers, and we gave Jesus, the son of Mary, clear proofs and supported him with the pure spirit, meaning Jibreel alayhi salam. But is it not that every time a messenger came to you, O children of Israel, with what your souls did not desire, you were arrogant? And a party of messengers you denied, and another party you killed. What your souls did not desire, that means hawa. Allah says, Bima la tahwa anfusukum istakbartum fa fariqan kadhabtum wa fariqan taqtulun. Allah says, they assumed greatness. They were far above the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. Because they were not attracted to those ayat, to those rulings, to those injunctions. Subhanallah. Allah says, and they said, our hearts are wrapped. They're wrapped or covered, sealed against the reception of Allah's words. And they were proud of it, subhanallah. But in fact, Allah has cursed them for the disbelief. So little is it that they believe. And when there came to them a book, meaning the Quran from Allah, confirming that which was with them, although before they used to pray for victory against those who disbelieved. But then, when there came to them that which they recognized, they disbelieved in it. So the curse of Allah will be upon the disbelievers. They used to claim in front of the Arabs, the Kuffar, the pagans, that we are expecting a prophet, and when he comes, we will defeat you. But when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually arrived, because he came from the Arabs, they denied him. Allah says, how wretched is that for which they sold themselves, and that they would disbelieve in what Allah has revealed through their outrage, that Allah would send down his favor upon whom he wills from among his servants. So they returned having earned wrath upon wrath. فَبَاءُوا بِغَضَبٍ عَلَىٰ غَضَبٍ وَلِلْكَافِرِينَ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ. And for the disbelievers is a humiliating punishment.